Fixed income markets have evolved, but most benchmarks haven't. At Janus Henderson, our forward-thinking framework aims to reconstruct past approaches to fixed income by focusing on multiple investor objectives. Learn more at janushenderson.com. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal and fluctuation of value.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, November 17th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Executives at the video game company Activision Blizzard failed to inform board members or take action when some accusations of sexual misconduct were reported to them, according to exclusive reporting by The Wall Street Journal. After the story published yesterday, more than 100 current and former employees protested outside the company's offices, calling for the resignation of CEO Bobby Kotick. On today's show, our financial enterprise reporter Kirsten Grind joins us to discuss what company leaders knew, how they reacted, and what the fallout means for one of the largest publicly traded video gaming companies. That's after these headlines. America's biggest bank is suing the world's most valuable automaker. In a case filed on Monday, J.P. Morgan alleges that Tesla breached a contract involving stock warrants and is seeking to recoup over $160 million. J.P. Morgan says Tesla was required to pay in shares or cash if the price of the carmaker's stock was above the warrant strike price at the time the contract between the companies expired, which was the case. Tesla didn't respond to a request for comment. Meanwhile, CEO Elon Musk unloaded another roughly $930 million worth of shares while also exercising stock options, according to new disclosures. With those sales, Musk has now sold around 7.3 million Tesla shares, valued at around $7.8 billion. A little over a week ago, he signaled that he would offload as much as 10% of his holdings. The healthcare supplies distributor Cardinal Health plans to test drones for delivering pills, inhalers, and other items to U.S. pharmacies. Cardinal says this could cut transportation costs and be a way to restock inventory faster, while avoiding volatile last-minute shipping prices. Other companies have tested drones for delivering medical supplies, including UPS, Merck, and Walmart. Cardinal says it plans to partner with drone operator Zipline to test the program outside Charlotte, North Carolina. The pilot will start next year, pending approval from aviation regulators. And snowplows with joysticks? Snowmobiles without GPS screens? Those are just some of the ways manufacturers are going back in time to find old solutions to the current chip shortage problem. WSJ reporter Austin Hufford, who covers the U.S. manufacturing industry, says more companies are turning to low-tech models.
It shows that manufacturers think the chip shortage is more of a longer-term problem and that they need to change their products today to account for it. It's not going to go away overnight, and so that means that they're investing in research and development to make new products. Because right now, manufacturers are just trying to get out products in any way they can. They think that their customers prefer to get the product today, even in an incomplete form, versus waiting until months from now to get the fully finished device. For example, in the snowmobile world, you know, the winter season's beginning in just a few weeks. And so if you get your snowmobile in March, it's not very helpful.
All right, coming up, allegations of excessive drinking, harassment, and rape. What did the boss of Activision Blizzard know about what was going on at his company? We'll discuss the details of the WSJ's exclusive reporting after the break.
Fixed income markets have evolved, but most benchmarks haven't. At Janus Henderson, our forward-thinking framework aims to reconstruct past approaches to fixed income by focusing on multiple investor objectives. Learn more at janushenderson.com. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal and fluctuation of value.
Activision Blizzard, the company behind Call of Duty and Candy Crush, is facing a crisis. Multiple regulators are investigating the company over alleged sexual assaults and mistreatment of female employees dating back years. At the center of this turmoil is the company's chief executive, Bobby Kotick. He was one of the highest-paid CEOs in 2020 and is a well-known figure in the gaming world. But how much did he know about what was going on at his company, and what did he do with that information? Well, our reporter Kirsten Grind was part of the team that looked into this, and she joins me now. Hey, Kirsten. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So regulators are looking into accusations of sexual misconduct at Activision. You've learned more about those. What are some of the accusations that are being made?
So we spent a lot of time looking into what was going on at the company. So we uncovered from talking to people and looking at internal documents some of these allegations of harassment and other issues at the company. In one case, we learned about a couple alleged rapes at a studio owned by Activision called Sledgehammer and other severe sexual harassment problems at that studio. Bobby Kotick was informed about those back in 2018, but he didn't tell his board of directors. So that's one thing we looked at extensively, is how much he had been telling, keeping the board and also, you know, investors informed along the way, which we learned was not that much. In addition to Sledgehammer, we heard about another instance where a co-studio head of Treyarch, which is another successful Activision studio, had allegedly sexually harassed a woman in 2017. An internal investigation found that he should be fired. Bobby Kotick intervened to keep him on. So he was allowed to remain at the company with counseling. And then after we went to Activision, he actually left the company this month.
Okay, so we know what happened in that one instance, but, you know, with some of the other allegations that you saw, how did the company react internally when some of these allegations were brought up?
Well, for employees, it was really challenging because they felt like there was this culture where none of this was talked about. And often when someone was accused of misconduct, a male, it would sometimes be like a superstar executive or employee, and they were allowed to leave and were praised by their managers on the way out, even after allegations of misconduct. So it created this kind of like unfortunate sort of culture of silence that many former employees told us about at the company, in which misconduct allegations weren't really reported or taken seriously. And we learned through the course of this investigation that since the California lawsuit in July, Activision has seen now more than 500 reports of additional harassment, assault, and other issues being reported by employees.
How much was Bobby Kotick involved in these decisions, and how aware was he of what was going on at the company?
So he's in general, as many people have told us, very involved in the company. He knows about important like hirings and firings and problems that are going on. So, you know, he would have been involved at a high level in many of those decisions. At the same time, the company is very large and has a large number of game development studios. And he believed in letting those studios generally operate autonomously. So what that meant is a lot of the people we spoke to in the document showed this culture of, you know, drinking alcohol, like harassment towards women, just like this low level of, you know, just misconduct towards women all the time, because these units were kind of left alone. And so he was both involved at a high level in a lot of these decisions, but also kind of looking the other way in these studios.
You know, when regulators in California first brought their lawsuit in July, the company tried to downplay it, and employees have staged walkouts twice now, once earlier in the summer and the second time on Tuesday following the WSJ's investigation. Since the lawsuit was filed, has the company made any changes?
So the company has said they were instituting a zero tolerance harassment policy. Bobby Kotick said he would reduce his salary. His pay package in 2020 was valued at about $154 million. He reduced his pay package to $62,000 roughly a year. And they've tried to make it easier for employees to report harassment and abuse.
So one example from the story that really stood out to me was Jennifer O'Neill. Can you tell us, you know, who she was, how she kind of fits into all of this?
After the state lawsuit hit in July, the company made a number of executive changes. And as part of that, they moved up Jennifer O'Neill, who is a longtime Activision employee, to co-head one of Activision's most successful units, Blizzard. And basically what happened is she was there about a month and she sent this internal email that we've seen in which she said, I just do not believe the culture is going to change under this leadership team. She said she herself was underpaid compared to her male co-head. She said she had also been sexually harassed at one point in her career. And she recounted this party she had been out with Bobby Kotick back in around 2007, in which there were scantily clad women dancing on stripper poles, basically pointing out that this was a long-held culture at the company that she didn't think would change. So it was, you know, it was a pretty shocking internal email only a month after she had gotten that position. And she said she wanted to resign and she's leaving the company at the end of the year.
How are the company or Kotick himself reacting to this story?
Well, on Tuesday, when the story went online, the company released an internal video to employees, a transcript of which they made available, which basically said that, you know, the company is committed to these issues and Bobby is committed to working out these issues. And then the board of directors at Activision also just released a statement on Tuesday professing their support of Bobby and saying that he has handled the workplace allegations he knew about appropriately.
So then what's next for Activision? I mean, do we expect any major changes? Will this affect investors? What happens from here?
We're going to have to see what happens in the coming days. I mean, they're also facing, as we reported in September, an SEC investigation, which is looking directly at what Bobby knew, what he told the board over a period of years, how the company handled these misconduct allegations. So we have to see how that plays out, as well as the California lawsuit. They tried to settle yet another probe by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission for $18 million recently, looking into some of the same issues, and that has so far not been finalized either, as the regulators kind of have a side battle going on. So it's going to be an interesting few months in this respect.
All right, that was our reporter, Kirsten Grind. Thanks for joining us, Kirsten.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
20 years ago, energy giant Enron was considered one of the most innovative companies in the world. But in late summer 2001, the company's top executive resigned out of the blue. That set my colleague Rebecca Smith and me on a reporting journey with an end we never imagined. I'm John M. Schwiler from The Wall Street Journal. On our new podcast, Bad Bets, we unravel big business dramas that have had a big impact on our world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.